Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Take your thoughts on the Titans, the hiring of Rand Carthon, 615-737-1025, as general manager of the Tennessee Titans. By the way, I've got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the New Jersey Devils at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, January 26th. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the New Jersey Devils coming up on Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, January 26th. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, lots of different thoughts already flowing in this morning on the text line about the hiring of Rand Carthon. An interesting question from Ben here. Does a new general manager have to come in and make a splash? Most seem like they do, but it's not always for the best. This from Ben on the text line.
I don't know, but it's so different. So the last time the Titans brought in a GM, it was a more traditional time to bring in a GM when you're terrible. And so John Robinson comes in with the number one pick. So it's almost like he couldn't help but make a splash, right? And he did make a splash because the Rams gave them an absolute haul.
Yeah.
Les Snead, by the way. And by the way, that was Rand Carthon was on that staff. He was still with the Rams and was just about to go with John Lynch to the Niners. But so this situation make a splash. I don't think Rand Carthon's coming in here like, well, you know, Tannehill, Henry, that might be the way to go. But you know what? Let's make a bigger splash. It's just you got to get to work, and you like it's not like you have nothing to work with here. I think the 7-game losing streak kind of magnifies or maybe exaggerates a little bit like where the Titans are. It's a big ask to fix this like offensive line and receiving core enough in one offseason to be able to be right back in there. But if you do that, you could be right back in there.
Big E on the text line says, no one has a crystal ball, but I like the choice of Carthon. Joe, you might recall my text to the show on Friday where I said that I thought the Titans would pick Carthon. It'd be consistent with the team identity in terms of style and scheme. Kudos to the Titans for not just running it back in the front office. This is from Big E on the text line. So shout out to Big E for his called shot.
Well, do you have the evidence? If you said that, then it'll be on there. Do you see it?
I have to go back and look.
But anyway, all right, I guess we'll give you credit, Big E.
Big E, you can have credit.
We'll give you credit. Good job. Good call. yeah, I think a lot of people have the same sentiment of kudos for not running back. Again, 5 years from now, you know, Ryan Cowden will be GM somewhere else, and he's the best GM in the league, and this could fall apart here, and it'll be like, they had him right there. He was right there. It was Ryan Cowden. You know, who knows? We don't know. But I think right now, you certainly win the press conference immediately by going outside. And again, not just going outside what looks like, by all accounts and all appearances, a very impressive candidate.
Well, this is also the difference in my mind in like the general manager part of this. Like even going back to John Robinson, like you like a lot of things you hear about John Robinson when he was first hired. And you like, you know, obviously he'd been with the Patriots at that time and the Titans were in a different spot in their organization and they needed some help badly with the roster that they had. But you didn't really know a whole lot about John Robinson if you were an average Titans fan and what exactly he did with Tampa, what he did with New England, and the exact impact that he had. I mean, it's kind of the same thing here. I think Rand Carthon has a really impressive resume, but, you know, what decisions did he make? What was his scorecard, if you will, in terms of guys that he wanted to go get that they got that worked out, all these different things. I mean, we don't know. Like, if you go hire an offensive coordinator, especially somebody that's been around the league for a while, like, you can sit there and say, well, so-and-so, like Matt Nagy, I saw him as head coach of the Bears. He wasn't very good. I mean, you have different opinions on guys because you've seen their body of work, especially in the coaching profession. When you're kind of behind the scenes a little bit and you're not the general manager and this is your first general manager job, I think it's interesting because you don't really know exactly what you're going to get heading into a role. I felt that way about John Robinson. I feel this way now. I think it's a good hire. I think he's certainly qualified to do it. But that's the thing about the general manager is we won't really know until you see a couple of seasons worth of evidence of moves that you have to make.
Yeah. It's obviously when you make coaching hires, it's a lot easier to just point to performance because it's performance, you know, on the field. Yep. And sometimes even that's a little bit, you know, shrouded, I guess. Like if it's a coordinator hire and you're a position coach or whatever. But it's a lot easier in coaching in general to be able to point to something. And with this, what you can point to is just overall success. Again, three organizations, so he's been a part of three different roster builds at different stages, but three different roster builds that led to Super Bowl teams. Also, I think one of the biggest endorsements for Rand Carthon is, you know, Les Snead was, I think, director of player personnel with the Falcons under Thomas Dimitroff back in the late 2000s into the early 2010s. And when he got the Rams GM gig, he brought Carthon with him and then gave him the pro personnel job there. I mean, that's like that alone, and a couple of people mentioned that to me last night. Like, Les took him with him. And pretty early in his career, he had just gotten done playing a few years early. He'd done the pro scouting for a little bit, but it's kind of obvious he was identified as a star at that point, and it's been a pretty steady ascent since then.
The text line is popping today.
Okay. You know,
people are on their A game today on the text line. We talked about Megan and Vray Ran earlier, the nice nickname given out. I got a texture that says, now that we have the guy, it's time to get to important business. His nickname. What are we thinking? Ran Car, Ran Man, the Carthonon, the Carthonator, open to ideas. I got to say, the Carthonon is pretty cool.
Ran Man, Carthonator, making copies.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
I think I'm going with the Carthonon.
I like the Carthonon.
Out of that list. That's pretty good.
I like Vray Ran, though. Like Megan, I think Megan got a win early with Vray Ran. I mean, it was Vray Rob, which, by the way, I came up with that one. I think, as far as I know, I came up with that I don't know anybody else who did, or anybody else who would use such a dumb pun. But I like Vray Ran. But, yeah, you're right. The Carthonon is pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet. Chuck on the text line says, Titans fans may need to taper the excitement. Still think that next season will mirror this season. There's just too many holes and too much money tied up in Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry.
That doesn't have to
doesn't
be that
have
much.
To be.
I mean, you could change that. He could change that. They could change that. You know, here's the thing with John Robinson. You know, like I said, he had the automatic, like, you knew there was going to be, I mean, the Titans were a big talking point. They were the worst team. And so they had the number one pick, and they made the huge trade with the Rams. But the thing about John Robinson that he did in that first year is he made them competitive because he fixed the offensive line in one offseason. Now, to think that you can just duplicate that whenever you want to is silly, but he got Jack Conklin out of that was one of many picks he got out of the number one pick at number eight, moving actually back up to get him. He signed Ben Jones, huge. And I think that's got to be part of this offseason for Rand Carthon, too, is a veteran who's coming in to make a big difference. And then, of course, a big part of that is he basically stuck with Taylor Lewan.
Yep.
And a lot of people were like out on Taylor Lewan at that point, stuck with them, and all of a sudden he had a Pro Bowl level play from Taylor Lewan at left tackle in his first season. So you go from, I'd say maybe the worst offensive line, the worst team, worst offensive line, both in the league in 2015, to a 9-7 team with a good offensive line in 1 year. So if Rand Carthon can duplicate just that from John Robinson's first year, then a lot of things about this team look better.
Well, that's the thing. Like, of all the moves that they have to make, and there's a lot. I mean, we've talked about them. You got to go look at the receiving core, all these different things. You know, who are you bringing back on the defensive side of the ball? I have wondered if they were just better at the offensive line and significantly better, what would it mean? Like, what would it mean for their bottom line? It changing nothing else. Like, Tannehill's in there. Henry's in there. You have the same receiving core. How much better are they with just a better offensive line?
Playoff team.
Yeah.
They're playoff team. So now just add a really good fast receiver to that.
That'd be good.
Then they might be a reasonably competitive playoff team.
Yep. Interesting challenge ahead for Rand Carthon. More of your thoughts on that coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Where do the Titans go from here now that they've hired their general manager? More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from the 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, what's up, buddy? Man, that's so – hey, COVID's alive and well, dude. I don't know if y'all know that. Like, it whooped my butt this weekend. But it kicked me with this fever. And, like, in the middle of this fever, this hire happens. And I'm, like, you know, not understanding it and kind of blacking in and out. But, no, I feel a lot better today. And, I'm really excited that they made a hire. Like I would have lost so much money if I would have bet on this hire. I was certain it was going to be J-Rob's buddy. I don't even know if they're buddies. I don't want to just call him that. But the guy that was already on staff, didn't all signs point toward it being just a boring hire? And, you know, you're bringing in all the minority candidates. You thought you were doing it just to, like, fill the Rooney Rule. And then they hired that guy. I'm like, that's awesome, man. Like, I'm so excited to see where he takes it. Because I didn't necessarily love the J-Rob hire just because he was a Patriot guy when we got him. And I'll be excited to see, 49ers blood in the house and kind of mixing it up a little bit and change. Hopefully changing the trajectory with how they're recruiting these players. Because I guess, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I guess he's got, like, really good recruiting pedigree here from what I was reading. So I'll be excited to see what he does.
Adam, thanks for the call. Glad you're feeling a little bit better.
Feel better.
Feel better, Adam. Yeah, appreciate you calling in.
By the way, Kraken COVID, have you seen this?
No.
Apparently the new strain is called Kraken COVID.
Interesting.
That's all I know. I have not
read
about it.
That stinks if you're named the Seattle Kraken. That's just bad mojo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So anyway, feel better.
I'll feel better, Adam.
There is stuff going around, that's for sure.
Hey, I'm really excited to see what he does. And I know that you can't base things on just the organization that he comes from, right? I mean, the 49ers have done a lot of winning. Now, as somebody has pointed out, they've not won a Super Bowl, which is the ultimate goal now. They may this year. We'll wait and see what happens on that front. But you are talking about a team that is really consistent, and they're back in the playoffs again with a chance to go back to another NFC title game. They've been to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. They've been to another NFC title game with Jimmy Garoppolo. They may go to an NFC title game this year with Brock Purdy as the quarterback. I mean, they've done a really good job of building the roster. So it doesn't necessarily mean that that type of success is going to translate from San Francisco to here with the hiring of Rand Carthon. But I do think there is something to be said of, all right, you've seen a formula that works in terms of building your roster. And the Titans have seen that too. Say what you want to say about John Robinson, and it fell apart toward the end. But he built a pretty good roster with this Titans team. The more guys that you could have in your organization that have experience and know what it's like and know what it takes to put together a good roster, I think the better that is for your organization. And I'm excited to see what Rand Carthon can do with it.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. You're talking about an organization that has done – yeah, hasn't won it, but has gotten there and has a team good enough to get there again and has been knocking on the door without the – great quarterback that some believe that you have to have. Everybody wants that guy. They attempted to start the clock on someone they obviously believed could be that guy and still could be that guy. I don't know, but they did that with Trey Lance, and we just haven't seen much from him. I didn't think he was that great this year before he got hurt. He had his ups and downs. But bottom line is, when you can do what they've done overall with Jimmy G and Trey Lance and now Brock Purdy, that's building a roster. And then that you apply that to the Titans. If you build a roster comparable to that and Ryan Tannehill's your quarterback, I mean, you have a team good enough to be there. Now, he still has to not throw picks in the big games, without question. But I'm just saying, in terms of quality of quarterback, second tier, whatever, top 15, top half, but more closer to the median. Well, if you have a roster as good as the Niners have, that's good enough.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, how does Carthon view Tannehill? And because, he's seen Jimmy Garoppolo get to the playoffs and win big games and get to a Super Bowl with good players around him. He's seen what Brock Purdy is doing right now, and we'll see if that continues this weekend as they take on the Cowboys. But I guess what is Carthon's philosophy on the quarterback position? Because ultimately, like, at some point you're going to have to figure that out, whether it's after this, whether it's now, whether it's after next year. At some point, if you're Carthon, you're going to have to figure out what the next step at quarterback looks like. Do you do that now? Do you want to wait and see what you have in Tannehill for this year and see if you can build up pieces around it? Do you want to go make a splash and go get Tom Brady? I guess you could do that too. But I do wonder.
Take him away from the Niners.
Yeah, well, maybe so. But, like, eventually it comes down to that. As you start to project forward with what the Titans are going to do and who they're going to be, we've thrown out the question, like, what does this mean for the Titans and the direction they're taking? Well, a lot of that's going to come down to how do you view the quarterback position as you move forward here.
Yeah, like, my general rule on a GM in the NFL, it's almost like a college football coach. It's like, okay, realistically, you should get 5 years. And I know things are different, the portal and all that stuff. But basically, 5 years to, unless you just completely botch the job. We've seen that in Knoxville.
Well, Pruitt was only a couple years away from 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes there are exceptions. But in general, if you're – you know, doing a reasonable job, you should get 5 years to get all your players in. Same idea to me with an NFL GM. You should be able to find, you know, identify and draft your franchise quarterback and then go from there. Now, you know, John Robinson never got that opportunity. He came in with one who had been drafted right before he got here. So that kind of, he came in with the rookie quarterback clock still early, you know, yep. Which is an interesting situation. But typically, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a fair way to judge a GM. You know, it's funny, too, thinking about that, like Chris Ballard has not done that either. Now, Chris Ballard has gone with the veteran Band-Aid philosophy. Be interesting to see if they change that. They are in position to change that. But the Titans are not too far out of position to change that if they so choose. I mean, if you love one of those quarterbacks, maybe Rand Carthon comes in and says, hey, guys, Will Levis is going to be Josh Allen. We're going to get him.
Maybe.
Mike, come on. Get on board. Come on. Could if we're going to be Ray Rand, you got to get on board with me. Will Levis, mayonnaise in the coffee, let's go. Who knows? I mean, and the thing is, obviously, there's a whole bunch of evaluation ahead, and sometimes you fall in love with the prospect during that process. You don't have to know everything right now.
Well, and – now, you've also, I mean, the next step in the immediate future is you've got to find an offensive coordinator. So your offensive coordinator, I think you brought up an interesting point earlier. We talked earlier this week about, all right, the Titans are requesting permission to interview Bieniemy and Nagy from Kansas City. What does that mean? Like, does that mean that they're open to changing their offensive philosophy? Are they open to a scheme change? And now you've hired a general manager that, while the personnel is different, the scheme is pretty similar with what they run out there in San Francisco and what you have run over the course of the past few years here with the Titans. Does that signal one way or another what the offensive coordinator hire is going to look like? Is Tim Kelly still the favorite? Does Carthon have any thoughts on the offensive coordinator and the offensive system that he wants to run? I don't know. Like, I still think the offensive coordinator is and should come down to what Mike Vrabel thinks is the best because it's his coaching staff.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, you know, what the internal conversations have been about how they view the offense as they move forward here.
Yeah, like even when Vrabel, when John Robinson was clearly like Vrabel's boss, right? I mean, Vrabel's picking his coaching staff.
Yeah.
That said, there is an interesting link here with a different LaFleur because, of course, you know, Rand Carthon has worked with Mike LaFleur, who, of course, now is a free agent. Jets fired him. Same offense, so it's the same offense as, you know, this, Packers, Rams, Niners, Titans, other teams, you know, Falcons, the modern West Coast offense. Would Mike Vrabel be interested in the other LaFleur?
I don't know. I mean the rumors are that he's going to join the Rams, but there's nothing that's happened on that to this point yet, so we'll see what happens on that front. Could be. I also wonder, like, as you look around the league, and Tim Kelly's here, right? And I think you and I would both agree, at least heading into the search, that we thought Tim Kelly was the favorite to be the offensive coordinator. Like, is there, has there been more conversation of, okay, well, is that ultimately the route we're going to go? Is he a serious candidate for offensive coordinator? I don't know. Like, he may not be. He's a passing game coordinator. They tried to interview him a couple of years ago. Like, if you start to follow the tea leaves, I think Tim Kelly is probably a serious coordinator or a serious candidate for offensive coordinator.
I would have to think
but,
so.
But, I mean, I guess we don't know that. It's just us speculating.
Don't know that, but we do know that that they did approach him, you know, when yes. Downing was hired. So I can't imagine he wouldn't, you know, be a serious candidate. I would still consider him the favorite. I said this yesterday before we knew it was going to happen. I feel stronger about that being an internal hire than I did about GM. I didn't Correct. Buy that this was just auto. You know, they're just going to promote from within, and these interviews are, you know, not real.
Sean in Murfreesboro on the text line says, with Monty Austinfort now the GM for the Cardinals and Rand Carthon for the Titans, what's the likelihood the Titans trade for Kyler Murray or Trey Lance?
No.
That's from Sean in Murfreesboro on the text line.
It's like every time
not Kyler.
Every time a GM comes, you have to have a quarterback trade.
By the way, Cardinals Twitter was going nuts. I guess Monty Austinfort got in there, was talking about how ego's not going to be tolerated in the organization. And everybody was like, Kyler! Kyler!
Oh, but good.
Here we go.
Ego's not going to be tolerated. Yeah, that's a good thing in an NFL organization. No ego. No ego tolerated. Good luck with that.
You can see how that goes.
PS5 controllers will not be tolerated in this organization.
Call of Duty is outlawed from the Arizona Cardinals organization. 615-737-1025. We'll have more of your thoughts on the hiring of Rand Carthon as Titans general manager coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The NFL playoffs are heating up, and with FanDuel, every play is a rush. New customers join today so you can bet the divisional round with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you have to do is sign up with promo code ROB. We've talked a lot about the 49ers today. I think it's going to be a good game with them and the Cowboys, but I do like the 49ers to win. I just think they're a better team than Dallas. I'll go with San Francisco on the money line, and I will go with Debo Samuel as an anytime touchdown score. But you take it any way you want to take it. America's number one sports book has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, with FanDuel, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the hiring of Rand Carthon as the Titans general manager. Taking your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now we got a texter saying the trade for DeAndre Hopkins from the Cardinals. I will say, just because Monty Austinfort is now the general manager of the Cardinals does not mean that he's all of a sudden going to unload all of his players to the Titans, but we've talked about the DeAndre Hopkins part of this before. Maybe something that's worth calling on if you're the Tennessee Titans.
We will have no ego in this organization. I'm going to trade all the good players to the Titans. I owe them a lot. Thank you.
He was very complimentary of Miss Amy Adams Strunk, and now is take the players.
Yeah, like even if someone didn't work at a particular place, like all these GMs have each other's numbers. So like they can trade players. It's not a prerequisite.
They can. So we'll see what happens on that front.
Although I will say the Titans Southeast is a real thing.
Yeah, it became a factory of ex-Titans for a while down there in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Didn't work out so well for them this year.
Atlanta's basically the Titans minor league affiliate. Although, I guess with the Titans going 7-10, you can't say that anymore.
Well, that is true. So we'll see what happens on that front. We discussed the Trey Lance Instagram post earlier of the last night. Titans Twitter was going nuts about Trey Lance because he posted a picture of Rand Carthon and with the fingers crossed emoji. And everybody was trying to determine what in the heck does that mean. Does that mean that you're hoping that he brings you with him to the Titans as Brock Purdy is leading the 49ers to a Super Bowl? Are you wishing him good luck? What's going on there? We've had different thoughts on that today. You know, Caroline Fenton put it out on Twitter last night that the fingers crossed emoji means good luck. We had another – Chris reached out on the text line about that today. We also had another text, and I have to go back and find it, that had a totally different meaning for the fingers crossed emoji as well. So lots of people diving in and trying to determine what the fingers crossed emoji really means from Trey Lance yesterday on Instagram.
Yeah.
Sign of the times.
Early in the 6 o'clock hour, I said, I don't think Caroline's right. I look at – the fingers crossed means I'm hoping for something. Like, I'm hoping. Ooh, I'm really hoping. Also – If you're lying, you do that too. You're right? Like, oh no, I didn't eat the last Dorito, and then you have your fingers crossed behind your back, like because you're lying. But I've never known it to be good luck. But apparently, it's good luck. Apparently, emojis have changed what finger signals mean. Does the middle finger mean have a nice day now? I don't know.
Yes, it does. Actually, the double bird means have a good day.
Have a super good day. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. So, I honestly, when I saw that last night, I seriously, my initial thought was, Trey Lance is hoping to come to Nashville.
Well, I found the text. Shane on the text line says, cross fingers means locked in or like brothers for life, friends. Sure.
Okay.
I've seen that too, though. I've seen that too.
Pinky swear. Okay.
So, is Trey Lance coming to the Titans? That's what we're getting down to.
Yeah, that's what it – exactly. What finger signal says, you know, I need to find a condo in Germantown? You know?
Caroline on my personal text line said, the kids these days use it as good luck. Caroline, talking about the kids these days.
Yeah, like, good luck.
Good luck to you, buddy.
Fingers crossed. I mean, you could say, like, my fingers are crossed for you. Like, I'm hoping.
Whoever
you know
says
what I mean?
That.
Well, I don't know, but that means good luck. Good luck. Here you go. Read between the lines. Have a great day.
I don't know. I just know that it sent Titans Twitter into a tailspin last night. I do know that.
Yeah. Well, until – in all seriousness with Trey Lance, it is an interesting situation.
It is.
He's on the rookie clock.
Yep.
Like what if Brock Purdy just completely lights up the world? Brock Purdy, if anybody saw the Seattle game, San Fran is a – they are such a fun team to watch. What they do, their weapons offensively and what they do offensively, the combination is – that's – great.
Yeah.
It's just great football. But also, Brock Purdy, on his own, is making plays out there, extending plays, getting out of sacks, making big time, finding someone. I mean, he looks good. What if he's awesome and they win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, like if he goes and wins
that's
the Super
Nick,
Bowl.
That's not Nick Foles. Like, when Nick Foles won it, you still knew Nick Foles was a backup. And,
right.
And maybe Brock Purdy is, too. I mean, my God, he was Mr. Irrelevant. But, like, what if he's great and they win the Super Bowl?
Well, if he goes and wins the Super Bowl, how's he not your starting quarterback next year if you're San Francisco? So then what do you do with Trey Lance?
Like when Brady won the Super Bowl, and I know, here we go. Brock Purdy, Tom Brady, same person. But when he won that first Super Bowl, there was still a, Bledsoe, yeah, it's still Bledsoe. Come on. Drew Bledsoe's way, come on, he way more. This kid couldn't even play whole games at Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, he's a halftime starter at Michigan. Come on, nah, it's Bledsoe. No. Did you see him win the Super Bowl? This is after the first one. There was still seriously like, nah, but Brady's not, he's not going to be the starter, right? I mean, great story, but nah. So I am now forecasting 7 Super Bowls for Brock Purdy.
I mean, Brock Purdy's 7-0, man.
And Trey Lance would be potentially expendable.
That would be a way to get
how good is Trey Lance?
That's the thing. Like, he's barely played.
Yeah.
You know, I watched him play in the preseason this year. They played the Packers, and he played for like 2 drives. And I will say, he looked really good on those 2 drives. And then he played in the opening game against Chicago, which if you think back to that game, it was an absolute monsoon. Like, the field was literally underwater, and nothing good was happening for anybody out there. And then he gets hurt. I mean, that's the sample size we have of Trey Lance. So I don't know how anybody would have any idea of how good he is right now.
He makes some plays where you're like, oh, my goodness, okay. I
got a great arm.
Yeah, but I don't know. So one of them comes with Rand Carthon, right? That's part of the deal.
Maybe so.
Purdy or Lance.
We did get a text.
Choose your quarterback.
Maybe Niners. Debo as well.
We got a text earlier asking, like, could the Titans make a trade for Brock Purdy? Maybe. Think about asking that question.
It's a cheap contract, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it is.
It's a low number.
It is a very low number. You could do a whole lot of things at the quarterback or at the rest of the roster if you had Brock Purdy as the starting quarterback. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. But in all seriousness, like, how does he view the quarterback? That's what a lot of this is going to come down to. Like, if you're Ryan Tannehill, you know, we hadn't got into this a whole lot, but he was asked, you know, last week about wanting to come back to the Titans. Obviously, he said he does. He still wants to be the quarterback here. With the way that things have played out, they've fired Todd Downing. You lost 7 in a row to end the season. Now, you were hurt during that losing streak, too. But, like, if you're Ryan Tannehill right now, like, how are you feeling about your future here? Like, are you totally up in the air? Like, what do you think is going through Ryan Tannehill's head right now as he watches all this unfold with the moves the Titans are making?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think if you're going through everything, I'm sure, like, just like anybody on this team, and this is again part of why people who just dismiss that it was a huge distraction when John Robinson was fired. You know, he picked all these players, you know? So there's some level of, like, okay, this GM views me as someone who fits here. If you're Tannehill, you look at him and you say, well, it's the same offense I've been in and I've played my best football in that he's been basically part of his entire career. Not entire career, by the way, because Rand Carthon, when he was with the Rams, was actually the Jeff Fisher coaching era there. And then basically when he went with Lynch to San Fran is when the Rams went with McVay and went that route. So they both went – both of those franchises went – you know, McVay, Shanahan has been pretty good for both of them, by the way. But it's the same offense, so I suppose you probably find some comfort in that.
Yeah.
You're waiting to see who the OC hire is. You probably feel better about it if it's Tim Kelly.
I would say so.
Tim Kelly's been around you. And Tannehill, I think, in that building even more than any of us, there's a lot of respect for – him, also what he did this year in particular. Everybody knows how rough it was to be a quarterback trying to stand in a dissolving pocket for this team in 2022.
I would agree. Now, you've also just hired a general manager that was not there for that and does not really have a relationship to Ryan Tannehill yet at this point.
Sure.
So that part of the equation has changed. I'm interested to see what impact that could have on the quarterback position. Larry on the text line says, I've got an idea. Let's try to get the oldest team in the league and see how that works out for us while all the successful teams are using young talent. I'm totally confused by everyone's thinking around here. This is from Larry on the text line. I guess Larry not a big proponent of running things back with Tannehill and Derrick Henry and the like.
Yeah.
Or Tom Brady, maybe.
Maybe he just really doesn't want Tom Brady.
Right. What exactly are you
saying?
Average
age goes up significantly if Brady's in here.
That is true. Well, what they're thinking is, like, can you win now? Like, I mean, I would hope that you'd have to admit that, like, Tannehill and Henry has been a successful combination for the Tennessee Titans. And, again, 2 small, short years ago had a top 5 offense in the NFL with those two in it. And it was explosive, and it made big plays, and it was not just run the ball 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It was not that. So that did happen, I promise you. Another quick – I want to get something that's been asked on the text line.
Okay.
Compensatory picks. If the Titans get a because Rand Carthon is the first black head coach or GM in this franchise history, this was one of 6 that had not had a black GM or head coach, and now the Titans have a black GM. There is 2020, the resolution passed by the owners rewarding teams for developing minority coaches and execs. The Titans do not get anything for hiring Rand Carthon. The 49ers get consecutive 2 straight years of 3rd-round compensatory picks. So it's developing candidates who go on to be head coach or GM that gets you compensatory picks. Titans do not get picks.
Correct. That will go to San Francisco. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant. You can check out our rants every morning at 745 here on the program. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check out our rants, the Rob Rant, the Rex Rant, the Red Rant, one of which you can check out every day at 745. Here on the program. I'm convinced Michelle likes it the best when I do the rant, just so she can play this song.
You are very correct. I love this song. It gets me in my feels. I love watching the videos. And listen, we are only 2 months away from March. Actually, less than 2 months.
But yeah, basically from the start of the tournament. And then we'll be so close to all being able to enjoy this song together as a country.
Yes, we will. Looking forward to that day. It's going to be a great day here on the program. All right, so I have... in some ways, what I'd like to refer to as a public service announcement, and this has been something that's really gotten after me for basically my entire life, but it's popped up again the last couple of days, and it's a general lack of awareness, I think, is probably the root cause here. I don't think people most of the time are intentionally trying to be rude when they do this, but I'm just trying to raise awareness where if maybe you're an offender in this situation and you don't even realize that you're doing it, maybe this could be an educational experience for you. So a couple of different things have happened where this situation has come up over the course of the past week. About a week ago, I was walking around a mall, a local establishment here, and just, you know, walking around. I was getting some calories burned, looking through some shops, killing some time. And you're walking down, you know, it's a hallway. There's a walkway in the mall that you're just walking, doing your thing. And people will be right in front of me, and you can kind of weave in and out of traffic every now and then if they're going too slow. The thing that drives me nuts is when people just come to a direct stop. I mean, they just complete halt in the middle of the hallway, and they're standing there, and they're either looking at something or they're talking, and all the while not realizing that, you know, 25, 30 people deep behind you, people are like waiting on you to get out of the way so they can continue moving on. It happens at the mall quite frequently. Where it really drives me nuts, to be honest with you, is at Bridgestone Arena, and it happens all the time. Like, you're walking, and I realize, like, the concourse, it can get a little tight. There's 17,000 people in there. It gets a little tight. But let's not compound the situation by, we're just going to stop in the middle of the hallway and have conversations with people. We're just going to stop right here in the middle of everybody, and we're going to talk. We're going to catch up with everybody, and it's going to be right in the middle of the hallway while there's 10,000 people trying to go to the bathroom over here. The other 5,000 people are looking for a concession stand. They're out in the middle of the intermission. It drives me nuts. And the game against Calgary the other night. I'm walking around. And like three separate times, a group of people, they just stop and start to have a conversation in the middle of the hallway. And I'm just standing there like stuck. And eventually you have to be like, hey, excuse me, can I walk through you real quick? It's an epidemic in this country. And we've got to get it figured out. Again, I don't think most of the time it's with ill intentions. I think people are just generally have a lack of awareness. And this has happened to me many times throughout my life. But it's happened twice over the course of the past week, and it's brought up deep feelings inside me of rage that I feel like I must let go of here today on this program. Get out of the way. Be aware of what's going on.
It's a good one because, yeah, I mean, I've definitely been there too where it's like, wait, you're like – you usually have a wall, right? And you see this in Bridgestone because you say this, and I think of the other night, like when we come out of the thing, we're going to like the media room. A lot of times we have to go through like a line to the bathroom. That's fine. I mean, they're in a line to the bathroom.
Whatever. That's fine.
But I remember, but a lot of times you do have people who are kind of pressed against the wall hanging out. So they're back to the wall. Oh, yeah. They're looking out. That's fine. That's what you should do. But then you just have these random – you know what? I've probably been an offender here and there if something like, you know, something grabs my attention. I don't know. Maybe like you're walking past a TV or something and you're like, whoa, whoa, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a big play in the game or something. And you stop. So I've probably been an offender, but I've definitely been annoyed by it.
Oh, man.
I mean, for the most part, it's like look around, back away to the wall – leave a path.
Yeah, just take your conversation that you're having in the middle of the hallway and just take a couple of steps toward the wall. That's really all you have to do. Like, it's just, as long as you make an attempt to get out of the way, there can still be a flow of traffic through that, while maybe annoying, is at least acceptable. Like, it's just coming to a complete halt and everybody else is just standing there either waiting to move right through you or for you to eventually recognize that you're blocking traffic. Now, I will say, like, when people recognize that they've done it, I'm not mad. I'm just like, okay, thanks, appreciate you. We'll get you out of the way. Dennis has brought up a great point on the text line where this is also a big problem. People do it all the time at theme parks. It's like they're oblivious to other people existing. It's like sensory overload, I guess. They've got all these lights and rides and the map going on. Where are we? What's going on? I don't know where we go from here. And they just come to a complete stop in the middle of the walkway. Disney World, big offender of this. People do this all the time.
The worst is the airport, because especially when you're trying to go get a connection, make it to your gate or something, people just wandering. Oh, yeah. The amount of times I see people just in the middle of like the walkway, just kind of holding their suitcase, looking around.
Well, sometimes looking up at the flight board.
Oh, yeah.
Just in the middle of everything.
And I've stopped too to look at the flight board, but look around, you know, so that you're not like, if you do an abrupt stop and you don't look around, like someone could just bump into you.
Yeah.
You know, I've definitely bumped into people doing that.
Yeah, Rex Road running.
I got a text on my own personal text line, like stopping at the bottom of stairs. That one's a, man, that one drives me nuts too. At the bottom of the staircase and people are just there. Just
or like an talking. Escalator.
What are you doing? Get out of the way.
Yeah, that's a total lack of awareness.
The other one is like you're getting off of the elevator and people just bum rush in and like, hey guys, I got to get out of here before you can get in here.
Yeah.
It takes an extra 3 seconds.
That's a good one too. John says, I was grocery shopping the other day. A family basically was having an extended family reunion, like 9 people wide across the aisle with no way around. It's like, do I scream, stop, wait, or just leave and not get my stuff?
Yeah.
Infuriating.
It is.
What did you do, John?
Yeah, let us know, John. Rebecca on the text line says, good luck, Robbie. It's never going to change. I've done it and totally apologize, but most in this world are in la-la land. This is from Rebecca on the text line. I would agree with that.
Tyler says, everyone knows the wall next to Hunt Brothers Pizza area is where you go to talk at Bridgestone. It is like, that is like social hour at the high school, you know?
Yeah. Josh from Lebanon says, totally agree with the rant. Coming from the replay booth to the media lounge is terrible, especially outside 313 when people are getting alcohol. Nice rant. A lot of people really upset with the grocery store aisles. A lot of submissions of the grocery store aisles being a place where people just totally come to a stop.
Okay, well.
That one's hard, though.
Yeah, that one's hard because, I mean, I've been there where it's like, okay, I'm stopping and I'm going to get these cans of sweet peas.
Yeah.
Whether my family likes them or not, I'm going to buy a whole bunch of them. And I'm going to stop right now. So what do you do? What you do hope is that you, again, look around. It's like head on a swivel. Look around, and if someone's trying to get through and there's someone coming the other way, okay, move forward a little bit so they can get through.
Yeah.
Rather than just be completely so wrapped up in your sweet peas that you have no idea. As long as you look around, because you're going to at times stop, right? I mean,
for sure.
Like, there's no way to avoid that. There's times you have to just wait. There's people coming both ways. You have to wait in a grocery store. Just be aware.
Yeah, just be vigilant. See what's going on out there. Josh on the text line says, this gets me too. What really gets me is when they huff and puff when you interrupt their conversation to say, excuse me, to get through. I have had that happen before. It's like, well, hey, man, you're the one in the middle of the hallway. What are you getting mad at me for? Get out of the way.
Yeah, you can't get mad if you're the person doing the stopping.
I feel like, I mean, grocery stores apparently have really set people off on the text line. The arena is the one where I think I recognize it the most, although to John's point, to Dennis's point earlier, theme parks, man, you can really get into some trouble there.
Yeah,
people just stopping.
Yeah, like there's big. It's big spaces, but still, at times, like yeah, I know. I've definitely like, sorry, excuse me. Logan says place where that is hell on earth is Times Square because you literally have nowhere else to go as it's already so busy. Yeah, there's a lot about.
I've experienced that. Yes.
Just go into a local fine seafood place called Bubba Gump Shrimp. It's fantastic. Or amazing place for apps, Chili's. I actually did go in there because we had my niece and nephew were really being cranky. And, like, everybody in there was wearing Georgia Bulldog shirts. I don't know why.
In the Chili's in
Times
Square?
Yeah, in the Chili's in Times Square. I'm not kidding.
You might have any visors on in there?
There may have been a couple visors.
Were there any barking?
Maybe had a couple visors in there.
May have been some of that, too.
See, food didn't come on time. They just all started barking.
But I'm glad I was able to get this off my chest. Yeah, I feel better.
It's a good call, man.
It's been something that really has bothered me my entire life, and it's recently come back up, so I'm glad that I was able to vent today here on the Rob Rant. You can check out our rants every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on the hiring of Rand Carthon as Titans general manager. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.